Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. Wait.
Welcome to the Gym Class 304 on this bright, sunny, 50-degree Tuesday on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. For the next hour, Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann, bringing you local programming, and then from 4 to 7, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Plenty of guests and interesting commentary on that show, as usual. A lot to get to today. Things develop throughout the day, as we know. But headlines right now, Kirk Ferentz has opened the 2019 spring football season with a news conference. The practices start tomorrow. Cameron Lard will be leaving the Iowa State basketball program. The Iowa women learn their Sweet 16 opponent. And coaching news, Tim Miles out at Nebraska and Steve Prohm at Iowa State gets a contract extension. We'll touch on that and much, much more. Our guest coming up in about 10 minutes, Brian Peterson, two-time national championship coach of the Kirkwood men's basketball team. The Eagles won their most recent championship last week in Danville, Illinois. Looking forward to talking to Brian about his season and what might be ahead. Kyle, spring news conference today. No shocking news per se, but Kirk Ferentz saying that Kelvin Bell will be the permanent defensive line coach replacing the retired Reese Morgan. Kelvin had worked with the defensive line the last 3 years in addition to being recruiting coordinator, and those duties apparently will be spread out. Kirk Ferentz still looking for a 10th assistant on his staff. And he said progress is being made in that regard. Good news, really, defensive tackle Davion Nixon is back in the fold. He had the junior college transfer, had considered transferring from the program, but now is back in the Iowa fold and can do nothing based on his reputation, can do nothing but add depth to the defensive line. Alignment and the personnel there.
Yeah, really good news regarding Nixon there. He, you know, kind of we've heard about, you know, if he can get on the field, it sounds like he can really be a solid contributor for that team. But he's just been in kind of limbo for this, you know, past period of time ever since he stepped on campus, really. And it'll be great to get him on the field there.
319-366-1600. That's your way to interact with us during the show. Whether you're here in Iowa, over in Champaign, Illinois, Santa Rosa, California, Henderson, North Carolina. I know I have friends that tune in on the app or the online application at kgymradio.com. Glad to have you guys aboard today. As always, we are sponsored by Third Base Brewing. We're happy to have Third Base on board, located on Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Just like KGYM, Third Base is locally owned and operated, a place where families meet up again and again, great for a quick lunch, catch a game after work, or bring the family in for an affordable, delicious meal. Again, conveniently located on the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Thank you very much, Third Base Brewery. The depth charts are out, and they don't mean a whole lot. Do they? I mean, there's some interesting names. Local player Sean Beyer is at one of the tight end positions. Folks think a whole lot of him. He may be, and not to put too much pressure on him, but he could be that next really good tight end for Iowa.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, we know he's a good athlete here. You know, us here in the area, we're familiar with him as an athlete, but then he, you know, 6'5", 244 pounds, you know, he's got that same frame, so... You know, we're going to have to see. You know, I don't think there's, you know, Noah Fant, even when he came in as a freshman, maybe didn't know he was going to be this good, but there was kind of an inkling that Fant was going to be that. Beyer has the potential, certainly, but hasn't necessarily had the hype so much. So, you know, definitely doesn't mean that he can't be that, but it'll be interesting to watch. And, you know, of course, the other thing with him is it'll be great to see his redemption story, because I think, unfortunately, a lot of fans out there only remember that name for one unfortunate incident in that Wisconsin game.
Also in the news today, the Iowa Athletics Department announced that the Hawkeye football program will not hold an open spring practice in 2019 because of a turf replacement and a review of the field drainage system at Kinnick Stadium. Instead, the program will have a meet and greet sort of event, an autograph session and whatnot that will take place April 20th. More news on that, but the field replacement and drainage issues resulted from recent flooding and needed to be addressed. So there is that. Actually prompted our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Would you miss spring football games if they went the way of the dinosaur, Kyle? Yes or no? And thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's. My two cents, I come from an era of having covered the Hawkeyes in throughout the 80s and early 90s when the spring football game was a football game. Drew up sides and play it like a football game. Recent years, at least at Iowa and other programs, it has been a scrimmage. It's been controlled. The attendance is not what it was back in the days I described. Unless you're in Nebraska, where you sell out your spring game, I'm not going to miss it at all.
The spring game that you describe, where it's a real game and you're actually getting your first look at these guys in real action, you know, I would miss that. But like you just said, that's not really what it is anymore. You know, I've been to the past few of them, and you go there and it's just like watching a practice. You know, there's a lot of whistles. It's, you know, very quick action. You get just such a basic look at everything. You don't really get a good feel for any of the players out there. Maybe can see, you know, who can jump high, who got a lot stronger, or, you know, things like that. But you're right. What it's become is just not really anything to be missed unless you love, you know, sitting out in the sun all day.
I understand it. A lot of the SEC schools still have a spring game, and they're very, very well attended. But some coaches fear injury.
That too.
And I get that. Last thing you want is somebody to blow out somebody of importance. I mean, they're all important, but someone of a quarterback or a first-string running back blowing out an ACL or an Achilles and you're out for 12 months. You know, that's the last thing you want to happen, but I suppose that could happen in a practice as well. 319-366-1600, are you going to miss or would you miss the spring football games / scrimmages / practices? Let us know what you think. There in that regard. I described the other news of the day. Cameron Lard, Kyle, is going to leave the Iowa State basketball program. He's a big, strong inside guy with a lot of upside, but he has decided, after meeting with Steve Prohm, the head coach, to leave the program. Lard said he wanted a fresh start, and he had no issues with the coaches, no destination. With his transfer has been identified, but Lard leaving the program, he saw action in 24 games last year, had his moments, but he was also suspended 3 times. And makes me wonder whether this was maybe a mutual decision. I don't know. I don't have any inside information, but when a player is suspended 3 times and it's documented, Lard had to go to a program in the off season to try to get some of his issues in his life straightened out. And in that regard, you wish the best for the kid. That's for sure. Maybe a fresh start will be good for him.
Yeah. There's it sounds like a much more, you know, on a personal level, it sounds a little bit kind of like a serious situation. And so this is purely speculation, but I think that you know, we, like you said, we know Lard went to went through a program last offseason. And so from that angle, you know, I think from Iowa State's perspective, they see a guy who is, you know, putting in the work, who, you know, on the surface, it seems like, you know, you're going to be willing to work through things with him if he's also going to be working on it. But, you know, you pile up three suspensions, and there was, you know, also the shot during that huge blowout late in the season where he's on the end of the bench just laughing. Mm-hmm. And how many instances where, you know, the guy gets four fouls in under 10 minutes or something like that. And it just, like, the theme with him is that he's just not giving himself a chance. And if he's ever going to, you know, improve the things that he's struggled with in his short career, he has to buy in himself if anything's ever going to happen. And I think maybe after 2 years at Iowa State, it's become clear to the program that that's not necessarily the case. And I think maybe he's realized that that's not necessarily the case, and he needs to go try to do it elsewhere. Right?
Makes you wonder the composition of next year's Iowa State basketball team, because you have Lindell Wigginton,
yep,
who is pro-capable, Horton Tucker, and Halliburton,
yep,
both listed on mock drafts. What will they decide to do? There's no indication of any more transfers. And again, Steve Prohm locked up a 3-year extension to 2025 today with the Iowa State program. And that may be in response to Alabama reportedly extending some overtures to try to lure Prohm to that program. But Prohm says he's very happy. His family has established roots in Ames, wants to be there a long time. But in regards to the other players, you don't want too many other shoes to drop, you know?
Yep, they're the three draft guys that you mentioned, and then we also did kind of know that maybe there was something to come with Cam Lard. I actually didn't think it was going to come this fast, but, you know, here we are. And, yeah, you've got three other guys who are going to kick the tires on the draft. I wouldn't be surprised if all three of them go through that review process, and so there's going to be a really long time where we don't know what that Iowa State roster is going to look like until we know.
Let's take a break right now. We'll get to more headlines of the day and get your comments and reactions to them. But when we come back, we'll be joined by Brian Peterson, head coach of the Kirkwood men's basketball team.
Prospect Meadows opens this May in the Corridor. This brand new baseball and softball complex will provide local kids with new opportunities, host teams from around the Midwest, and offer real economic impact locally. It also features the only special needs field in our area. Be part of Prospect Meadows. For a limited time only, they're offering custom inscribed baseballs to be featured on their Rotary donor wall at the main entrance. Reserve yours this week at prospectmeadows.com. Proceeds from the donor wall will help complete this first-class complex and give all children a place to play.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit. Straight up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables. You rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pedball, downtown Iowa City.
Every journey starts with a single step. On your retirement journey, make sure your first step is finding Medicare Supplement Insurance with Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We want you to find answers to all your questions about Medicare. Go to wellmark.com/Medicare today and get your free Medicare Matters guide, or find a local expert to talk to. Then, let the journey begin. Wellmark. Must reside in the service area of the plan. Wellmark Medicare Supplement Insurance plans are not connected with or endorsed by any government agency.
Welcome back, 318 on the Gym Class today. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. Scott Unas will return to his captain's chair tomorrow as he's completing a couple days of vacation. Look forward to Scott's return. Appreciate Kyle sitting in yesterday and today. Let's clean up a comment on the Hertzien & Stocker Jeweler text line. Darren in Iowa City, even if I don't get to the spring game, I would miss the media coverage. Oh, that's nice.
It is your first really big batch of football news.
It is indeed. Right now, we want to bring in a national champion two times over, Brian Peterson of Kirkwood. How you doing, Brian?
Doing good, guys.
Good. Last week, you won your second national championship, and did you find a place in the trophy case for the latest hardware?
hasn't made the trophy case quite yet. It's kind of circulating around campus a little bit, so but we'll find a spot for it for sure.
Take us through the tournament, Brian. It's four games, I believe, in 5 days, but you won the first three fairly handily in that championship game against Johnson County, not the one from Iowa, but it was a two-point game with 20 seconds left. Then what happened?
Well, we had some kids make some big plays. You know, we were able to get some stops and then, you know, knock in some free throws. You know, I think we went, you know, I think in the second half, I don't even know if we missed a free throw, but I know we made our last four, and then we got some key stops. Actually, a local kid, Sabian Sims, hit a huge three, you know, a little bit before then. That kind of gave us some separation as well, too. But we had a really good group that defended, that really bought into the defensive end of the floor at about the last month of the year. And, you know, I thought that was something that really separated us in all four of our games was our defense. And that's, you know, and that's the reason we won the game on Saturday, because we held them under 60.
And you got a big charge call at the end too, didn't you?
Yeah, Luke Apple, you know, had a great play, took a big-time charge and huge. I mean, obviously we get the ball back, but then, you know, it's a huge momentum play too for them. I think that really obviously put them in a tough spot after he took that charge.
Looking back at the start of the season, Brian, and I know we had you on earlier this year, and we were kind of a jinx because you had ascended to number one and you lost the next game, I think. But and anyway, did you?
Good thing we don't play any more games this year.
Or be on KGYM. Yeah. But did you see it in this group to win a national championship?
You know, to be honest, you know, at the beginning of the year, we didn't know for sure. I mean, we had a lot of new players. We only had a couple guys that actually played meaningful minutes for us last year that came back. I did like the way the group was shaping up. The chemistry was really good out the gate, and then that just kind of continued to develop. I didn't think that we needed to get a little bit better on the defensive end, and I didn't know if we were going to get there or not. But I knew we could score the ball. I knew we had, you know, some of the best bigs and the best player in the country, in my opinion, with Doug Wilson. So if we could just kind of get a few other things to kind of get going in our direction, I did feel like we could do something special at the end of the year. And then credit to the kids, they just kept on working at it, and then they started to really believe in that as well, too, you know, and so they were obviously able to get it done at the end of the year for us.
You mentioned team chemistry in there, and the thing that's very unique to me about coaching at your level is that, you know, you've only got these guys usually about half as long as, you know, bigger schools do. Are there challenges, you know, with that in terms of, you know, team building or developing leaders, and how do you do that in half as much time?
Yeah, it's a challenge. There's no question. It's probably one of the biggest keys to having success at this level. I mean, obviously, we got to get good players and talented kids, but I think a huge, you know, big thing that we look at is, you know, the character of our kids, the work ethic, what kind of teammate we think they'll be, and then how to mess with the players that we already have with our roster. And it's something that we have to work on right when they get to campus. I mean, it's a daily grind to try to get, you know, build up leaders and figure out who our leaders are going to be. So it's definitely probably one of the biggest challenges at our level. And it's just something I think we really work at and preach. And we've been lucky. I think, you know, the biggest thing is I think we've been pretty fortunate in the couple of years that we've won it. You know, some of our better players have been awesome teammates, and that's a great starting spot. You know, if you have that, then I think chemistry can really grow quickly.
What does your league competition do for you when you get to the postseason?
It's tremendous. You know, we got the best league in the country, and I think after going over there again, I thought that probably the top four teams in our league, all of them could have at least won one game at the national tournament. And so, obviously, playing all those teams multiple times, some even three times at the tournament, I think that really prepared us for over there. I mean, played NIAC three times. They could have easily been in the Final Four, you know, I think at that tournament with their talent level. So it really got us ready, and I think our guys weren't shocked with the teams that were over there. They weren't, you know, like, wowed by any means. They were – you know, we were ready to go, and we felt confident because of what we did in our league.
Brian Peterson, head coach of the Kirkwood Eagles men's basketball team, which won the national championship for the second time in 3 years, I believe, 2016, also a national title season. Brian, I'm curious, you know, once you get to the national tournament, you win a game, you can certainly scout the next opponent, but junior colleges don't have the library of tape like you know, the ESPN multiple telecast that you can put in your bank if you're at Iowa or Iowa State and whatnot. Is that a challenge?
It is a little bit. I do feel like, you know, our level's gotten a little bit better with, like, you know, uploading film and all those types of things on the internet. So we were able to find a decent amount of stuff on our opponents. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not, you know, I know when I was at Iowa State and we got our, you know, first round opponent, we probably could have got every single game, all 30 of them, you know, pretty quickly. You know, that's not the case here, but at the same time, you know, my assistants did an awesome job of tracking down film and, you know, talking to people that played some of the opponents we might play. You know, and then obviously when we get over there, it's a lot of live scouting. And I think that's something that we really use to our advantage, too.
Hoiberg to Nebraska, what do you think?
That's what they're all saying, I guess. I don't know if it's a done deal or not. I haven't talked to Fred about it to confirm by any means, but that sounds like that's kind of the direction it might be heading. But we'll see.
Well, Brian, we don't want to kick you out the door, but anybody that's won two national championships, I don't know what your aspirations are. Are you in demand at all?
You know, nobody's offering me a job or anything right now by any means, but obviously, you know, we always, you know, as a coach, you know, you always want to keep working at it and challenging and, you know, challenging yourself as a coach. But no, I really like where I'm at right now. It's a great place, great community. Kirkwood's been awesome to me. Obviously, I'm a forward player, so even a little bit more of a tie, and really enjoy what we're doing here right now.
What about next year? And I mean, enjoy the 31-4 season national championship for as long as you can. But as Kyle alluded to, it's a constant turnover. You lose Doug Wilson and I think three or four others. How do you see the composition of that team?
Well, we got some good freshmen that were able to develop as the year went on. You know, that played a lot of minutes for us. You know, Sabian Sims started basically every game for us and had some huge plays for us in that tournament. Devontae Thedford, one of our guards, played a lot for us. You know, Luke Gaffalet was a, you know, a major contributor for us all year. So we got some guys, you know, that played a lot of minutes for us and some others even, like Brady Sartorius and Jamal Stevenson that also played. And Nico Gosnell. So we got some pieces back that, you know, contributed to our team this year. But we're going to definitely have to add some pieces, you know, and that's already started, you know, the recruiting process. Like right when we got back, we got to start lining up visits and get some kids on campus and then, you know, hopefully keep building this thing to make another run at next year.
Cameron Lard's available.
Yeah, I wish he still had some JUCO eligibility.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, it sounds like he might, I don't know, he sounds like he might age me a little bit. Sounds like he was a handful of a little bit, but I don't know. Yeah, so.
What is your focus in recruiting right now?
I'm trying to find another Doug Wilson, which I don't know if I've seen yet. you know, just trying to find, you know, some pieces that, you know, that fit kind of our puzzle that we're trying to put together. You know, we got some good players coming back. So, you know, we got some Iowa kids that we're looking at and looking forward to getting them to campus here. And that's kind of what they decide on. And then after that, we got some other prospects from the, you know, in the surrounding states that are interested in our program, but we're looking for a little bit of everything. I mean, we lose some shooting, we lose some size, we lose some ball handling, so we kind of need a little bit of everything. But like I said, I really like the core group of guys that we got coming back.
Well, Brian, I hope Wags finds a couple extra bucks for you. You deserve it. Another national championship. Kyle, you had another question?
Yeah, we just had a question come in on the text line. 2325 wants us to ask you if he can keep an eye out for any Kirkwood guys going anywhere next year.
Yeah, Doug Wilson signed to go to South Dakota State. He did that in the fall. Kyle Arrington, you know, one of our sophomores, is signed to go to Western Illinois. Connor Kasperbauer is signed to go to Truman State down in Missouri. Those are the three guys that are signed currently. And then we got a couple other guys that are still kind of going through the process and going to be signing up for visits, you know, getting those lined up here in the next probably couple weeks. And then hopefully they find some spots. But those are the three that are for sure already found spots for next year.
Sounds great, Brian. Appreciate you taking time out for us. And again, congratulations on the title.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. Brian Peterson, coach of the national championship Kirkwood men's basketball team, and always a great guest, and terrific coach out there on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, not too far from here.
No.
That's a wonderful thing.
Really not.
Let's go to break. We'll have more on the gym class after this.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When you're always on the go, what would you prefer? An office phone system?
Hey, it's Rochelle. Sorry I missed you earlier, had an errand to run, but I'm back in the office, so give me a call when you get this.
Or one that works on your cell phone. No hardware needed, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Oh, one sec, it's a business call. Hi, this is Rochelle with WayForward Partners. How can I help?
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
Motor oil keeps your engine running at peak performance. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Motor Oil for $28.95. Plus, get a $15 O'Reilly gift card and double O rewards points. Extend the life of your vehicle with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Prospect Meadows opens this May in the corridor. This brand-new baseball and softball complex will provide local kids with new opportunities, host teams from around the Midwest, and offer real economic impact locally. It also features the only special needs field in our area. Be part of Prospect Meadows. For a limited time only, they're offering custom-inscribed baseballs to be featured on their Rotary Donor Wall at the main entrance. Reserve yours this week at prospectmeadows.com. Proceeds from the Donor Wall will help complete this first-class complex and give all children a place to play.
Welcome back, 3:31 on the gym class. Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann with you today. Again, Scott Unash will be rejoining us tomorrow. Stay tuned. At the next break, we're going to give you a chance to win a $30 gift card to Hudson Southside Tap in Iowa City, courtesy of Community Crisis Services and Food Bank. Again, that coming up at our next break. If you haven't done so yet, check your brackets at kgymradio.com. See how your scores are doing, whether you are in the mix for the $500 cash prize from Imon Communications. Go to kgymradio.com and check it out. The Iowa women, it was announced today, set a NCAA record for two-day attendance for its first and second round games. 23,096 folks attended the first and second round games. Congratulations to the Iowa fans. I know it meant a lot to the program, and it's really a testimony, I think, when one, if not both games were almost simultaneously with men's tournament action as well. So really a nice feather in the cap for the Iowa fan and the Iowa women's program.
Yeah, and the thing that I'm glad about is that late in the season, you know, with only 6 home games left or so, we started to have, you know, I put it on my big boards, you know, you're running out of time to see Megan Gustafson. Make sure you get out there and see her. We talked about it yesterday, spent time talking about how she's a generational talent. She makes that a generational team. And, you know, it was just fantastic that they're able to host those tournament games and then the fans show out like that. Is, you know, you're right, just a really good feather in the cap. Good way to end, you know, a home season for that team.
The Iowa State women failed last night, beaten by Missouri State 69-60 for a chance to get to the Sweet 16. Missouri State moving on with at least one Iowa player that I know of, Elliot Ruffridge, from Pocahontas area on that team, leading Missouri State to a win over Iowa State in Ames. Meanwhile, the Iowa women have learned their Sweet 16 opponent, and it will be North Carolina State, Kyle, North Carolina State defeating Kentucky last night. And that next game coming up Saturday at 12:30 Iowa time in Greensboro, North Carolina. NC State located in Raleigh. And it's only about less than a 90-minute drive to Greensboro, about from here to the Quad Cities, I would say. So NC State is going to undoubtedly will have a pretty good home court advantage.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about it. Iowa enjoyed, you know, pretty good home court advantage for those first couple games. So it's, you know, it's not going to be a cakewalk. It never is if you want to be a champion. So they're going to have a little bit of adversity there. But Megan Gustafson is one of the best players in the country. So I'm sure they're going to be up for the challenge.
As mentioned, Steve Prohm with a 3-year contract extension as the Iowa State men's basketball coach. That will take him through 2025. Of course, these contracts mean nothing in the whole scheme of things, except for the buyouts of, you know, if should anything happen on either side down the road. But it's an acknowledgement of Prohm's success and the way he's conducted himself with the Cyclone program, and congratulations to Prohm. Not so much for Tim Miles at Nebraska.
Ah.
He was shown the door today, 2 days after Nebraska completed its short run in the National Invitation Tournament. And there's debate out there whether Bill Moose, the athletic director, really handled this in a proper way.
Oh, is there much debate about
it? Well, I can understand him respecting Miles enough to let him, you know, take his team and coach them in the NIT. But that probably could have been handled by saying, listen, Tim, we're going to let you go at the end of the year. It's your option whether you want to coach this team through the NIT. But I think the decision had been made, despite the fact Nebraska won 2 games in the Big Ten basketball tournament, including a win over Maryland. But this decision probably was made long ago.
Yeah, and
when Bill Moose is in California at his son's spring football game.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. It's been made up for a while. And so, you are exactly right. And this has been brought up on the text line where I understand wanting to let him continue to coach his team through the rest of the season. I don't think the mistake was not to let him continue coaching. What I think the problem was Nebraska opened its mouth prematurely. We go back to that statement that they made. It must have been after they were eliminated from the Big Ten tournament. Bill Moose comes out, says, I'm going to make a statement at, you know, so-and-so o'clock. I forget when exactly it was. But then he comes out, makes the statement, and says, well, actually, I'm going to make a statement on Sunday after we see if we made it into the NCAA tournament or the NIT. That statement, you're obviously not announcing you're firing Tim Miles, but to put out that statement and say, hey, there's going to be another statement coming and it might be dependent on our placement in the postseason, you know, you're basically saying Tim Miles is going to be fired. And so you open up the door to, you know, if they win the NIT, then what? And now you're on this teeter-totter, this whole limbo thing where everyone knows Tim Miles is going to be fired. Nebraska, Bill Moose should have just waited. If you want to let him coach his team through the end of the year, then let him coach his team through the end of the year, and then you start talking. But to even entertain all the rumors, to even feed into that at all before the season was over, that was when Nebraska dug itself a hole.
Miles was there 7 seasons and didn't enjoy a great deal of success, although last year the Cornhuskers tied for 4th in the Big Ten. I don't believe we're selected to the NCAA tournament, but had a really good season last year, and his team suffered some injuries this year. That didn't help, but I guess 7 years was long enough. Isn't that a coaching graveyard?
Nebraska?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so. That is...
But we've heard Mike Loss among them said he thinks that's the best facility in the Big Ten.
Facilities, sometimes I'm not involved in college athletics. I'm not a coach. I'm not a player. So I guess I don't know. Maybe it's different when you're actually using them. But to me, it's sometimes, you know, as long as you're not, you know, working in a dump, sometimes I feel like the facilities thing gets a little overplayed. Northwestern has great facilities, but do we think that Northwestern is going to be a national championship contender now? That's kind of a larger argument, but I think you're right. Nebraska's a graveyard. It is not a desirable basketball job, especially, and I don't think facilities really overcome that. And that's why I think if they get Hoiberg to replace Tim Miles, that is a, oh my gosh, that is such a gift for them, because that Hoiberg could get any sort of sexy job all over the country. He could get UCLA tomorrow if he wanted it. But if he lands at Nebraska, then, you know, that is a good get for them. That is as good as they're going to get.
Is that a thing?
It sounded like it, about a week ago or so, but
I know Jeff Goodman tweeted today, a national college basketball writer, that sources told him that Hoiberg has shown some interest.
He's a Nebraskan, and we actually, you know, we had a very passionate Nebraska fan on the text line last, you know. Actually, no, this was on Twitter. I had a very passionate Nebraska fan tweet at me last week telling me that Nebraskans are different. He assured me that he is from Nebraska. He would love to coach at Nebraska, and so that's why it's going to happen. I'm not going to say that all Nebraskans are like that, but maybe Fred Hoiberg is like that, and like I said, that would be a great get.
319-366-1600, our Hertzine and Stocker Jeweler text line. I thought Miles had some decent players. His team did not lack talent. It lacked depth, and it didn't have the upper tier talent, but it had some players. And, you know, whether a coach is the necessary thing that Nebraska needs to do, listen, competing in the Big Ten is no bargain by any means.
Yeah.
And as far as Hoiberg goes, I thought we've heard that recruiting isn't really his thing. And after being in the NBA, whether, you know, he would really want to return to the college coaching, I know his grandfather coached in Nebraska and he was born in Nebraska, but that was a long time ago. So I guess that's a story worth following and see, you know, what transpires there. So I don't know what to make of that. I really don't, but I'm checking here. On the text line, 1263 says the Iowa women play at 10:30 Central Time, and I'm looking at the NCAA website, and I believe that to be true. I'll confirm that here in a minute. Not 1230, but 10:30 Iowa time. Again, I'll confirm that for everyone before the end of the program. Baseball season resumes, and yes, I said resumes, Thursday. And I don't know what the level of anticipation is. I really can't gauge it. I've got a sports view in the can for tomorrow. It will air tomorrow. It's in regard to Major League Baseball, and I want to steal every element of that. But there was some angst that the season starts on the same day as the Sweet 16, and the NCAA men's basketball tournament is held the first day of that anyway. And even though those games are at night and a lot of the baseball games are during the day, I don't know, some baseball fans didn't really like that. But others, you know, are baseball fans and they really don't care.
That was actually the first thing that came up when I walked in the office today. Alex Kuhn was talking about that. He pointed out, Why would Major League Baseball put opening day on the same day as the Sweet 16? And my instant response was exactly what you said. Most of those baseball games are during the day. Plenty of people are going to be able to see those. But Alex kind of talked some more, and I had some more time to think about it. And this is your opening day. This is supposed to be your day. Maybe there's still going to be plenty of people who get to see those day games. But when the nighttime rolls around, there's going to be basketball games that people are watching instead of baseball. They're, you know, late at night and the next morning, there's going to be basketball action that people are talking about instead of opening day. And so, you know, maybe there will be a lot of people who see those day games, but don't you want opening day to be your day and yours alone?
Well, I would suppose. What I do like is all 30 teams beginning on the same day. Or not beginning, but playing on the same day. A damn Seattle-Oakland two-game series. was the official start of the season in Tokyo, but all 30 teams are going to play on Thursday, including the Twins at Cleveland. We're going to have that game on 107.5 FM beginning at 2:30. This is your home of Twins baseball all season. We'll have Saturday and Sunday's games as well. Sunday, we've got Atlanta and Philadelphia, two teams that surprised last year and may or may not be in the mix this coming year. The East is going to be really interesting to watch, I think, with the Mets signing Jacob DeGrom today. The Phillies made a move last year. I think that's going to be an interesting division. So we're going to take a break, and as we do, we're going to give you a chance to win a $30 gift card to Hudson Southside Tap, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Just like KGYM, Community Crisis Services Bank and Food Bank is local and there to help support everyone in the community. Feeding those in need is only one part of what Community Crisis Services and Food Bank offers. They are ready to listen 7 days a week, formerly known as the Crisis Center. So right now, caller 6, you're going to win a $30 gift card to Hudson's Southside Tap, courtesy of the Crisis Services and Food Bank.
In sports, as in life, the best rise to the top. That's how college brackets work. And it's how Third Base Brewery has curated their in-house brews for the past 20 years. Only the greatest survive. Maybe that's why friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in and watch the madness unfold at Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
My neighbors always ask me, "Hey Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?"
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get a greener, stronger lawn, guaranteed. All it takes is 4 easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing your lawn the nutrition and weed control it needs to stay lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association at this station.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Welcome back to the Gym Class. 10 more minutes of such program, and then we're followed by the Todd Bromkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 to 7, your four-hour local programming block on KGYM 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, 106.3 FM, the South Gym, in addition to our KGYM radio stream and various apps. So thank you for joining us today and every day. John from Cedar Rapids is the winner of that $30 gift card to Hudson Southside Tap, Highway 1 West in Iowa City, courtesy of Community Crisis Services and Food Bank. Will have another opportunity for you to win tomorrow and then again on Thursday and Friday. Where were we? We were talking baseball, but we want to go back a little bit to Steve Prohm, who we mentioned that he had received a 3-year contract extension. And your thoughts on a comment on the text line?
Yeah, well, when I saw the extension, my initial thought was you and I were hosting a show fairly recently when Iowa and Iowa State were both, you know, in pretty bad skids. And we were having texters, I forget what the topic actually was that day. It was probably just, a, you know, generally how bad things were going. And we had a few texters calling in very passionately about Steve Prohm actually not being a good X's and O's coach, not making adjustments. And not, you know, he was more of a recruiter than he was actually a coach. And so I was just curious to see if, you know, in the wake of this extension news, what would be the reaction of Iowa State fans? And we did actually get a text here from 6439. It says, that extension must be for his recruiting. It sure can't be for his in-game adjustments or coaching skills. The only coach worse than him in the Big 12 is Oklahoma State's. And so that kind of just does bring it back up. And so I'm curious to hear from Iowa State fans. We've got about 10 minutes left here. Just a little bit of time for calls, more texts. Are you actually happy to have Prohm locked back up through 2025?
Cyclone Tim, maybe Fred was just waiting to see if Prohm would bolt to Alabama, then come back to Iowa State instead of Nebraska. Seems a bit far-fetched, but Cyclone Tim weighing in.
And what do you think of Steve Prohm as a coach?
I think he's a very solid coach. He was before he got to Iowa State. That's why the Cyclones hired him. That's why Jamie Pollard hired him. And, you know, you can evaluate, you know, in-game coaching ability and whatnot. A big part, you know, that was, I go back to my days at the Gazette and George Raveling's days at Iowa. I predated you, I know that. But the rap on George was that he couldn't coach. He was a hell of a recruiter, got Roy Marble and B.J. Armstrong and Ed Horton and right on down the line and put a team together that Tom Davis took to the Elite Eight in 87. That was the rap on George Raveling. Right or wrong, that some coaches get that rap, and I don't know if that's deserved of Prohm.
I don't necessarily think so either, and that's why I was curious to see if it was going to come up again because I don't necessarily think it's all that valid. He's won at least 23 games in 3 of his 4 seasons as a Cyclone. 23 games. And when people talk about X's and O's and you know, in-game adjustments and what makes an actual good coach, what better than tournament play and how you coach in tournament play? And I know that, you know, I'm just going to sound a little weird because they did just get upset in the first round by Ohio State. I know that. But he also has won 2 Big 12 tournaments in just 4 years. He has advanced past the first round in the NCAA tournament twice. And so, you know, on short notice, he has been able to put together successful game plans and make things happen. They upset several ranked teams on the road this year. I don't believe that the criticism of Steve Prohm on a clipboard is warranted.
25-23, it's easy to recruit with all those transfers. You know, is that a thing, dipping into the transfer portal and plucking out the best available players? I mean, Prohm's not the only one that does it.
Yeah, I mean, we've acknowledged here just in this conversation that, you know, there are multiple facets of coaching and part of it is recruiting. And if you're just, you know, going to limit yourself and say, I'm not going to take transfers, then, you know, you're limiting your recruiting pool. And, you know, by definition, not being as good of a recruiter as you could. So, you know, I also don't understand the hate towards the transfers.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the game anymore. It's a big part of the game. And I wouldn't be surprised if Steve Prohm went that route again.
Yeah. I mean, he's losing Shayok, who, you know, was a transfer, but he's their leading scorer. We don't know for sure yet, but let's just say that, you know, things go really not great, you know, for the long-term outlook of that program. Let's say Shayok graduates, Talon Horton Tucker hits the draft, Lindell Wigginton hits the draft. They're going to be hurting for scores. They'll definitely have to dip back into that transfer portal.
Recapping some of the news of the day, Kirk Ferentz opened spring football practice period today with a news conference. Spring practice actually begins tomorrow and will conclude in April. It also announced that Iowa will not have a spring football game per se because of new turf installation at Kinnick Stadium, and they're addressing some drainage issues as well. That's a chance for you to visit the poll question at kgymradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Would you miss spring football games if they went the way of the dinosaur? Right now, it's unanimous. No.
It's kind of depressing, but like you said, I think you pretty much answered it right as we opened the show. You know, if it were a spring game, you know, where you really saw some football, people would miss that. Mm-hmm. But that's just not what it is anymore. Nobody's going to miss what it is.
And the Iowa women learned their opponent, in the NCAA Sweet 16. And I apologize. I said 12:30 originally, thanks to Jeremy on the text line, and I did confirm this. It's 10:30 Iowa time on Saturday against North Carolina State, and that essentially is a home contest for NC State, being in Raleigh and only less than an hour and a half away from the Greensboro site. So, nevertheless, Iowa will give it a go as the number two seed, NC State the number three seed. Again, Tim Miles fired at Nebraska, Cameron Lard transferring from the Iowa State program. More on those subjects coming up on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We'll talk baseball tomorrow as Scott Unash returns, maybe give our predictions for the upcoming campaign. We didn't have a chance to dig into it a whole lot today. The season, as I mentioned, resumes on Thursday with all 30 teams in action. And also tomorrow, Mark Ironside is going to wrap up the NCAA wrestling season. Comment about Spencer Lee's second championship and Drew Foster's title for the Northern Iowa Panthers. And maybe, you know, Iowa returns the most points of any team in the country next season. Doesn't mean Iowa's going to win it, but things are looking fairly good next year for the Iowa wrestling program.
Did you see Tim Miles' statement after it became official he was no longer going to be the coach at Nebraska?
Well, I saw a couple items, and he was very, you know, thanking the fans and the administration and whatnot. Enlighten me.
Well, Tim Miles, you know, with him no longer being the coach at Nebraska, who knows when the next time we're going to be hearing his name or really spending much time talking about him, but he really is a quirky character, a very entertaining guy to listen to, and, you know, by all accounts, a very classy guy within that program. So, one last reminder here. I'm just gonna read his statement here. It's pretty short, but I just love it. He says, "I do love this place and hope for great success, but now's the time for the future. I'm the past. We've worked hard to elevate this brand and Nebraska basketball. I'm proud of what we've done, and I look forward to future success. I know Bill will hire a great guy, but I'm going to go get in that car. I'm going to go hang out with my wife and my kids and my dog and have a cold Coors Light. See ya."
I like it.
It's very
I like it.
Yeah, it's very Tim Miles. I love it.
We'll have NBA action on all three frequencies tonight and tomorrow. Tonight, Houston and Milwaukee. Tomorrow, the Lakers in Utah. And then we'll resume NCAA tournament coverage on Thursday with the Sweet 16, in addition to an afternoon baseball game between Minnesota and Cleveland. One last text to read, 6439. No surprise with Lard transferring. Wigginton and Lard should have been starting, but Prohm is either not smart enough or just too stubborn to figure it out. Wigginton was on the bench because he was hurt earlier in the year.
Yeah, I think
Lard wasn't there for some games because he got suspended.
Yep, nailed it.
So that's that. Thanks to Brian Peterson, Kirkwood men's basketball coach, for joining us on the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow.